Actually, I discovered later it was 15 years ago you went with me. Okay, how's that? Maybe I should have had the other mic, but I don't. Anyway, it's good to be here with you. Somebody needs to cut this thing down so it's lower. But it's good to be here. And thank God for his goodness to us throughout the years. And my wife and I are, well, more me than my wife are still traveling overseas. Lord willing, I'll be in, Bosnia and Croatia in September and Tanzania in November, the Lord willing. So I figure at 87 years old, we're still doing okay. And my kids keep saying, Dad, when are you quitting? My response is, but I also realize time is running down. None of us, Laura House is, let's see, she's in there someplace. She's number four. It said, favorite daughter. You know, my desire is to finish well, as long as God. And at the end of life, when we stand before him, the question is going to be, it's not whether you went to the mission field or was a janitor. The question is, did you do what God wanted you to do? And that's the important thing. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts and chapter 16, we find Paul heading out on his second mission journey. And he has Titus with him. And as you read that story, they were trying different places as to where God wanted them. And they tried this way, and it said the Spirit stopped them. And they tried something else, and God stopped them again. And it just seemed like they were just, you know, struggling to know what God wants. And I appreciate that story being in there, because there's times we've been in the same place. God, what do you want me to do? And you knock on doors to see what happens. And then one night, God spoke to Paul in a dream, a vision. And it was a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come on over here. And that's over in present-day Greece. And so they headed over there to that. Traveling then wasn't quite like it is now. You know, now in a few hours, you can be halfway around the world. But they got over there. And what's interesting, when they got there, they did not find a man waiting for them. There were some women. And Lydia was one of them. And they were the first converts there. And then, remember the story how there was this girl that was demon-possessed, and she was used by her masters to tell the fortunes. And she was making a lot of money for them. And after some days, Paul, through the Spirit, he said, that thing was cast out by the Spirit of God, and she could no longer tell fortunes, and her masters were not happy because they were losing their income. Things haven't changed. People still are more interested in money than they are in what's right. And thankfully, everybody's not that way. But and they ended up in jail, and they had been beaten. And I tell you, when they beat them back then, they didn't have much mercy on them. and they were put in one of those dungeons. And those dungeons were not like present-day jails. My wife and I have walked through one of them. I forget what country we're in. I think maybe, I don't know, Italy or someplace. I forget now. And I'll tell you, those dungeons were pretty rough places. There was no concrete floors. There was all dirt down in there. And it's a pretty rough place. But that night, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they began to sing praises to God. And as a result, God opened the prison doors, and their chains fell off. And they began to worship God, and the jailer ran in because he knew if those prisoners got out, his life was going to be taken. And so Paul said, just stop. We're all here. Don't do any harm. And as a result, that man and his family got saved. Years later, Paul is writing to the book to the church in Philippi. A church was started. I don't know, but my guess is that that jailer was maybe one of the leaders of the time. It doesn't say. But Paul is writing to them. And so we're going to read a few scriptures here this morning, if I can see. Well, not enough light here for me to see. But, yeah, I still have pretty good eyesight, though. But Paul is writing to them to encourage them. And he tells about his life story of how he was a very diligent believer in Judaism and how he kept the law. He was a good Pharisee, and he did all these things that he was supposed to. And he said, I was blameless concerning the law. And he did all these things, but you know, they still didn't bring satisfaction. And he was one of the major ones persecuting the early believers. And you remember, he's on his way to another city. He got permission to go there to arrest any of the Christians and bring them back and put them in jail. Probably some of them were killed. And he was very diligent. And on that trip that he was taken, God did something miraculous and struck him with blindness, and he fell down and he heard Jesus say to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul's life was changed. Paul was also there when when Stephen was martyred, the first martyr we hear about in the New Testament. And he was there holding the coats and things for the ones that were doing the beating and killing. And but here, God changes his life. God came to him, spoke to him, and his life was changed. And so then we skip on years later. And so Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, is giving his testimony, and sharing what God has done for him. You know, our testimony is still one of the most powerful things that we can do in telling about Jesus. We let people know what God has done for us. And so Paul is writing to them to encourage them, There doesn't seem to be anything major wrong in the church, except there were some Judaizers that was pushing to, you know, you're a Christian, but you have to keep the law too. And Paul says, no, that's not true. But he is encouraging the people. And there's two or three verses there that are important. And after Paul gives his testimony of what he has done and how he tells about his failures and all that, and we can all relate to those failures, can't we? Most of us have quite a lot of experience on that one. But Paul says this about himself. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to God. I'm pressing ahead. And one thing I've learned in life is this. We all have things we'd like to forget. We all have mistakes in our life. We can all look back and we can say, I wish I had not done that, or I wish I had not done something else, or I wish I had done this. And Paul said this, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, the reality is this, we cannot mentally just decide not to remember something. The mind doesn't work that way. We can't choose whether to willingly keep thinking about it. We can do things to help change, but we cannot just erase things from our mind. So what does Paul mean when he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of Christ Jesus? And it's this. You cannot change the past, regardless of how you would like to. But you can allow God to take you from where you're at to what He wants. And that is the important thing. When you allow the past to consume you and to continually live in the past, you're going to live in misery. There are those who are always blaming someone else for their situation. And I find this, they end up with a bitter spirit. They're blaming God for this thing, or they're blaming people for that thing. And usually the people that blame God for something never ask His advice on what they should do in the years past. Most of us get in trouble because of our own free will choices. When God created mankind, He did two unique things. He gave us the ability to choose, and then He made it where we have to choose. But what He did not do is give us the ability to choose the results. After God created us, He also gave us a handbook of do's and don'ts. The Bible is a book of principles of how to live. You follow the principles, you'll be blessed. You break the principles, you're going to be in trouble. And the thing of it is, the principles work in every culture. It doesn't matter whether you live in America or Timbuktu. In case you know it, Timbuktu is a place in Africa. And that's why it works in every culture because it works on principles. There are people, and I've seen this, they develop a bitter spirit because someone did something wrong to them. And I find this, when people have a bitter spirit, it does not just affect the person that wronged them. It usually ends up that anybody that disagrees with them also gets the brunt of that bitterness. There are those who blame other churches, congregations, for something they did wrong to them years ago, or they thought they did. One thing I've learned about churches is this, the people in it are human like you and I. They're not perfected. Some years ago, I was over in Africa, and I think I was in Zimbabwe, and another man there ministering, and he shared something with me that stuck with me, that total salvation is progressive. It is past, present, and future. In the past, when we came to the cross, we were delivered from the penalty of sin. In this life, little by little, we are being delivered from the power of sin as we let God to change our life. And little by little, we are getting released from the power of wrong things that we've done. It's a process. And as far as I know, and I'm probably almost as old as Pastor Jeff, so I've been around a while. As long as we're in this life, we're going to be in the process of being changed. And when we stand before God, we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. Total salvation. We're in a process, all of us. And the main thing for all of us is this, that we keep heading in the right direction. And that right direction is going to depend upon the choices that you and I make day by day. And sometimes what we think that are little things in our life, they're like the cheese in the mousetrap. And it starts us down the wrong road. Remember this, no alcoholic planned on being one when they took the first drink. No druggie planned on being an addict the first time they took one. And you can go on and on. It doesn't matter what it is. People don't plan on being that way. Where we are, there's one station that does a lot about the effects of smoking and a terrible result for some people. When we were young, smoking was the elite thing to do. You know, remember young people couldn't wait till they were 16 where they could legally buy a cigarette. At the time, nobody talked about the end result. And when we start doing things that the Bible warns us against, we need to realize that we're heading down the wrong direction. You have the right to make choices in your life. God gave you that right to make choices. And the Bible says this, choose this day who you'll serve. And every day you and I, we make choices. Do we do what's right or do we do what satisfies this flesh? As long as you're alive, you're going to be making a choice. And as long as you're alive, what you do is going to have an effect on you. If you put your wants first, you'll never have your needs met. When you put the desires of this flesh first, you're going to regret it. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. So we need to make choices. Scripture says, choose today who you'll serve. And the thing that I want to emphasize to you again is this. You cannot change the past. But you can allow God to lead you from here on. I'm so thankful for the fact that God gives us another chance today. Hey, choose today. Another thing, you who have been saved for a long time and getting up there in age, it's easy to look back at the good old days and say, boy, I wish we had them again. And the problem is, if we don't watch it, we're living in the good old days and we miss what God's doing today. One of the things I remember about the good old days is that the older people were talking about the good old days. The danger of the young is they're always looking at the future and they miss today. The danger of the older is looking at the past and miss what God's doing today. I have two desires in my life. I pray. I want to finish well. I don't want to stumble. But I realize this, as long as we're alive, we can blow it. And the thing of it is, temptations do not stop at salvation. Sometimes they can increase because you're going in the right direction. The other thing I want to be open to what God is doing today. Whether it's in the church or out, we have to trust God for what he's doing today. Sometimes we can look at what's going on and we can say there's no hope. We all realize our country is a mess. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, only bigger. But somehow we have to trust God that he will reach a people today and they'll get saved. There's no one too far gone for God. There's no one too bad. There could be a lot of after effects of your life, but there could be forgiveness. I'm glad that story of the thief on the cross is there. Here he is, hanging on the cross, giving his last few hours. But he recognized who Jesus is. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "You'll be with me." And as long as there's breath in a person, there's hope. And sometimes people say, "Well, I'm going to wait till that last breath." Well, the thing of it is, you may not have chance in your last breath. I remember years ago, a young man, son of his parents were both in ministry. His dad had died years before. His mother was in ministry. And he went his own way. Someone went to visit him from the church. Talked to him, and he said, "You know, well, I figure that I'll have a chance to get right with God." The next day, about a mile from his home, he's killed in a vehicle accident. Only God knows the end result. We never know. But this morning, the thing that I want to emphasize to you is that do not let the past determine your future. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. God can take you from where you're at. Yes, there will be scars. And yes, sometimes there are some penalties you pay. But the important thing is eternity. It's not a question, will we stand before God? The question is when. And if we continue to live in sin, we will pay the price. But allow God to take you from where you're at. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Pastor.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, as he was standing up here speaking,